Center for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm back again with friend and pediatrician, Dr. Chris Gendreau, who has been supporting healthy kids and families for 32 years in her role as a doctor. And she is going to talk to us today about kids and their behavior, but how the nervous system can have something to do with all of that. And we know in our field, with all of you listening out there, behaviors that challenge us as adults are probably one of the toughest parts of our time with young children. And so, Chris, we're so happy you're back, and I look forward to our conversation.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Priscilla. It's wonderful. Really helping kids figure out how to be comfortable in their bodies is what we need to do to help when we have challenging behaviors. And even when we're just trying to say, how can we have a well-ordered classroom or a well-ordered playtime? Yeah. Because when kids' nervous systems are off, it leads to more issues than I think we even realized with children. Yeah. I think of it as, you know, it's the jazzed up kid. It's the kid who's anxious, who's dysregulated, who perhaps has been traumatized, right, and has a nervous system that's on hyper alert all the time. They're right. Overstimulated, or they perceive the world as being overstimulating. Yeah. And as we've spoken in other places, perhaps it's a child who's had poor nutrition, and so they don't feel comfortable in their bodies, and they're again kind of jazzed up. To start with just a little bit of science to look at where does some of this come from. Our nervous system, we have the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. Two big words. Sympathetic nervous system, it's that active fight or flight. It's stress, it's running away from the lion, it's getting being surrounded by someone who's yelling, it's getting scared for whatever reason. It's turned on for many of us way more than evolution ever meant for that to happen. Yeah, that was supposed to be for running away from something that was scary, not to be always turned on.
Yeah.
And we know that when our sympathetic nervous system is always turned on, we're edgy, we're anxious, we're dysregulated.
Yeah.
Then there's the parasympathetic nervous system. They also, the rest and digest system. And that is what our body needs to heal. It's what our body needs to take in nutrients. It's what we need to relax. And a really, really important part of that parasympathetic nervous system is something called the vagus nerve. So everything I said was all to get us to the word vagus nerve.
Yes.
Because the vagus nerve is this, it's a cranial nerve, meaning it starts in the head, but it's the longest cranial nerve, and it goes from the brain down into your lungs, into your chest, into your abdomen, all over the body. It's the longest, basically the longest single nerve pathway in our body. And so there's a highway between the gut and the brain. And so why do we feel yucky when we're anxious? Well, some of it is that that nerve got activated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when the vagus nerve is strong, and that's what we want. We want a strong vagus nerve. We digest well. We sleep well. Our emotions are regulated. Something happens to us and it doesn't stay with us for hours. We can bounce back. We can be resilient.
Yes.
We can pay attention. We just are settled. But if that nerve, if that vagus nerve is weak, if it's inflamed, if it's been overwhelmed, we don't digest well. We don't sleep well. We're dysregulated. Kids are dysregulated. They're anxious. So it's not like we can lift weights with our vagus nerve. You know, we can't strengthen right. our vagus nerve that way. but we can do things that open up the nerve pathway. It's harder to think about than muscles, but nerves want to be unplugged. They want to move smoothly. They want the neurochemicals and all and the stimuli to just flow back and forth. And you can start, you can work on the vagus nerve being strong right away with babies. To step back a minute, we know that you can do a lot of things. You want to do a lot of work on keeping the vagus nerve strong when you are relaxed so that it's yes. ready for when something happens.
Yes.
So babies, skin to skin with parents, breathing together, babies who are being touched instead of always in a seat somewhere else, that seems to help strengthen their vagus nerve and makes them more willing to console when they're upset if that's been worked on. A little easier to think of are the toddlers and the school-aged kids, because strategies that help that vagus nerve are things like breath work and mindfulness mm-hmm. and calm, firm touch, guided imagery, moving your body in ways like yoga. But how do you do that with kids? And how do you teach kids how to do that?
I
think starting with toddlers, you can teach toddlers breath work. My very favorite way to teach toddlers breath work is when they're laying on an exam table and you put a little stuffed animal on their tummy and you say, can you give that stuffed animal a ride? And if they take a shallow breath, it doesn't move the stuffed animal. But if they yeah. take a good, deep belly breath, the kind of healthy breath that we know actually helps calm the vagus nerve, they can learn how to give that animal a ride and learn how to calm themselves.
Yes.
So yeah. before sleep, they can give that animal a ride. Another image that you can use with little kids is that they have a little bubble in their tummy. And when they take that nice, big, deep breath, that bubble gets bigger. And they call it bubble breathing.
Yeah.
One other one with that age group that you can use it even a little older, is smell a flower, blow out the candle. So you yes. smell the flower. And the way I've said it to kids is, it's not right in front of you. It's a ways away. So you have to take a really deep breath to smell that flower and then blow out the candle. You have to give me a nice long breath to blow out that candle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are things that if you practice before kids are out of control, if you start noticing somebody's is starting to act in ways that maybe are unusual for them. You know, do we need to sit and give that teddy bear a ride? Let's see if yeah. that helps you feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a way for you're helping them understand their bodies, which we've spent a lot of time talking in, you know, both of our episodes here, but it is giving them the strategies and the tools to be able to access those useful techniques when a grown-up isn't around.
Right, hopefully. Right. Because even just five deep breaths, it's all about how your body heals from a stressor. But even just five breaths makes you more likely to bring your heart rate down when you've gotten scared. Mm-hmm. And that can just be so helpful.
For grown-ups, for the adults in the room and also the children.
Yes, true. Exactly. Right. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. It does In fact, and if doing these things gives everybody 2 seconds of thinking before they act, then they're very helpful. But
yes, truly.
And they're also, these are also things that can be done right before bed to help hopefully get kids' bodies calmed down so that they sleep better there again, so that next day behaviors are better.
Yes. And just to catch your point there on sleep, because sleep is probably, in our last episode, we talked about, you know, kind of the regular request for strategies and support related to nutrition. Sleep is another one, I'm sure, that's a popular one when you're seeing families come in as, and frustration on the face of the caregiver saying, how do I get my kids to bed? How do I help with the bedtime routine is a nightmare? Because we hear it in our coaching work related to nap time, even in the childcare setting, because nap time is a hard time, but it's necessary, especially for these little kids who are in care all day. They need that quiet time. They need that downtime. But bedtime is so important, and really thinking through that process. So what are some things that you share with families as far as tips and tricks for that period of the day?
Yes, yes. Because at that point, you know, kids are tired.
Yeah.
What you really need to do is to get their mind to realize that their body is tired, or to just do some things that just naturally evolve. So that's for some of the younger kids. That's where you can even put that little teddy bear on their tummy and say, let's go up and down slowly and see if we can get the teddy bear to fall asleep.
Yes.
And bedtime stories, in particular bedtime stories that are made to help induce sleep. We'll talk about that in one of the resources, that stories that are done, whether it's by the person who's helping them fall asleep or through one of these apps, these stories tend to start out engaging children's brains, and then gradually, and they usually have great voices, they get calmer and calmer, so that if that child's busy brain can just listen to that story, they can somehow get off to sleep.
Yeah.
Because that if a child's had their sympathetic nervous system going all day long, it's going to take more than just close your eyes and go to sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. So there's body scans out there for kids. There's ones, even some age appropriate ones for some very little children. Doing some sort of movement. There's, again, in resources, we'll talk about Cosmic Kids. Cosmic Kids is a YouTube channel. Most of the resources that I'm going to talk about are free. There's plenty of things out there that you can pay lots and lots of money for, but there's also really good free resources out there. And one of my favorites is the Cosmic Kids YouTube channel, and it's mindfulness and yoga for little kids. And you'll do yoga right along with the polar bear and so there's some that are specifically for before sleep that are just really nice, because some kids, they do need to do something with their body before they go to sleep. Some of those kids also, just to look at it differently, there are some supplements that are very appropriate for sleep that do help calm that nervous system. It's why magnesium has become such a popular thing to try for stress in adults, but taken in some kids, it also helps calm that irritable nervous system that keeps them from falling asleep. So doing something physical, the physical yoga, the sometimes some supplements, you know, being really careful with what they eat before bed, but then using guided imagery, the sleep stories, sleep music. Again, there's a lot of good music out there that has a certain wave in it, a brain wave that's supposed to help calm your brain. But I think when you think about the kids who really have a hard time transitioning to sleep, I think sleep stories are really underutilized.
Yeah.
Because you have to engage their brain first.
Right.
You have to get, and that can be the only time they listen to those stories.
Yep.
And for the parents, and that's many of us, we don't want our kids to have a cell phone or something in the room.
Right.
There are teeny little inexpensive Bluetooth speakers that can be right next to the child's bed, and then you can shoot whatever this guided imagery, music, something like that into the room.
Yeah, I did a lot of babysitting. And started when I was very young. But one of my favorite things to do to get children to sleep was to sit on the floor in the bedroom near them or on the bed with them and just make up a story. They were the star. And so that engaged them first. And then you start probably a lot of what's happening on some of those, stories that you're referring to. You start to slowly, calmly tell the story. And they're so cued in to what's going to happen to the heroine or hero of the story, which is that child, that they can't stop listening. But so going back to, you mentioned it just quickly as we were talking about different strategies and tips, what they're eating before bed. So what can you say about that? A lot of families think it's really important to have that before bed snack or whatever. And we all have had those routines. Sometimes when you think about us growing up and, let's have a bedtime snack. Is that something that's really necessary for kids? And if that's a routine, what do you recommend?
I think it's rarely necessary for kids to have a bedtime snack. I think that it's left over from when they were infants and you wanted to get in one last feeding so that they would sleep all night.
Yes. Yes.
But it has become, I remember snacking a story. I did it with my kids for years.
Yeah.
But nothing, if kids really need something, let's say they are that challenging child who refused to eat dinner that night.
Yeah.
It's okay for them to have some perhaps like a high protein yogurt that's low sugared, but you want to avoid sugar. And I think that, would a cheese stick be okay? Sure. Would a high quality meat stick, but ice cream? Yeah. Even though a lot of us had it as the bedtime snack. Yeah. Probably not such a great one. And most kids don't. And if anything, it probably keeps them from falling asleep because their body's busy digesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, just, can you say a little bit, Chris, and I know you kind of had a plan for your, for our conversation today, so I don't want to throw any wrenches into things, but when you think about, you were talking about, we hear that sleep is so important for brain building and you just said it, digesting, all of those things. I think, say some more about that.
I think we could do an entire show just on sleep.
Okay.
And then I might have a lot more details.
All right. Well, but we can certainly arrange that.
So. Yes. I think that just to bring it into what we've already talked about, that an underslept child has an irritable nervous system is not going to behave well. So we can't expect, we know what we're like, we're not at our best when we haven't slept. For kids, it's the same way, but for them, it's because it gets them more jazzed up. And so having all of these tricks to work on helping kids calm their nervous systems enough to fall asleep will just help them sleep better and help them behave better the next day.
Yeah. So important. And so, and truly we will have another episode if you're willing on sleep, because I know that that is something that really is challenging for a lot of families out there, a lot of caregivers. And, that would be super helpful as far as content. So as we wrap up our conversation, what are some things that you want to make sure we hammer home?
Yep. So quickly, a couple of resources. The Cosmic Kids YouTube channel, a fabulous video on YouTube called Elmo's Mindfulness Spectacular. It's a whole introduction to mindfulness for kids.
Nice.
And it's for the kids. Insight Timer. Insight Timer is a free app that has the guided imagery, the calming music. My very favorite one is a 20-minute guided imagery for kids called Feeling Safe, Loved, and Ready to Sleep.
Oh, nice.
And it's just beautiful. For adult caregivers, sesameworkshop.org has a guide for using all their mindfulness practices, one for people in early childhood settings and one for in-home settings.
Nice. Oh, so many good things.
So bottom line is, a calm, regulated nervous system allows a child to tolerate and process sensory input more effectively. That it helps them be more resilient, it helps them tolerate stress, and maybe it'll give them a couple seconds before they react to a frustration, since they hopefully start from a more kind, calm, mindful place. That would be the hope.
That would be the hope. And that's a beautiful way to wrap up this conversation. And it also reminds me that on our website, on our 80 by 3 tab, we do have a series of videos with a pediatric occupational therapist who talks about that whole sensory integration piece of working with kids who maybe have experienced trauma in their lives. And we also have a series of podcasts with her. Her name's Alyssa Mason, and they're just great, great pieces of information for anyone who's working with young children. Dr. Chris Gendro, thank you so much for being with us, for your compassionate care of so many kids and families over these many 32 years and more years ahead. So I look forward to our next episode with you as a guest.
Right, me too. It's been a pleasure, Priscilla.
So if you want more information about those things that I mentioned, and also to find this, the resources that Dr. Gendro also shared, go to inclusivechildcare.org, and we look forward to our next episode. Thanks for listening. For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.